What's up, guys? Nathan here. Today I want to talk about the six signs that you are a winning poker player. This is what I've seen expert, semi-pros, and professional poker players doing more than any other players. This is what they do that amateurs don't do. So we're going to jump into it right now. These are the top six signs that you are a profitable, long-term winning poker player. Number one, and this one's going to be pretty obvious, is you win most poker sessions. Now, first off, let me define a poker session. A session, in my opinion, anyways, is a specific time that you sit down. It's when you play each day. Hopefully you're playing each day if you're a winning poker player, and whether you play 1 hour, 2 hours, 8 hours, that is your session. Some people play for a specific amount of time. Some people play for a specific number of hands. Now, I have found over the years that top players in high stakes games will win around 50 to 60% of their sessions. It's honestly, it's not that high. It's just a little bit more than a flip of a coin on most days, because of course in high stakes games you're playing against other very, very good poker players, so it's simply not going to be possible to win a large amount of the time. On the other hand, if you play low stakes games, I have seen poker players win 80% or more of their sessions. I was kind of famous or infamous, depending on who you talk to, back in the day for my exploits at the lowest stakes online, where I would literally never even have losing days. And the reason why, of course, is because your opponents are so, let's just say, play suboptimally at those stakes. So guys, the bottom line is you are going to get quote unquote unlucky on some days when you're playing poker, but winning poker players simply apply their mathematical advantage again and again because they use a proven winning poker strategy, which we're going to talk about more in a sec, that simply leads to profit on most days. Let's talk about sign number two that you're a winning poker player, and that is that you've mastered all the charts. And specifically what I mean by this are the pre-flop charts. So for example, you know exactly what hands to play from every single seat at the poker table. You also understand every single poker seat at the poker table. I'll put the image on your screen right now. So you know exactly what hands to play from early position, middle position, the cutoff, the button, the small blind, and the big blind. And you're going to add three more seats, of course, if you play full ring, 8-9 player poker game. By the way, if you don't know exactly what hands to play from every one of these seats at the poker table, I actually have a free poker cheat sheet with charts in it showing you what hands to play. Bottom line, guys, expert poker players, winning poker players, they don't need to guess. Especially in pre-flop situations, they know exactly what hands to play. They've mastered the charts. It's automatic in their brains. They don't have to spend their time thinking about this stuff on the fly. That's what amateurs do. Let's move on to sign number three that you are a winning poker player, and that is that you understand various board textures. You can immediately, for example, identify the differences between these three flops. Flop number one comes down with a king of spades, queen of diamonds, ten of diamonds. Flop number two comes down with a king of spades, seven of hearts, two of clubs. And flop number three comes down with a nine of hearts, eight of hearts, and seven of spades. Winning poker players immediately can tell you which one of these flops hits their range. Now, range is the entire spectrum of hands that you are likely to have depending on the way that you played the hand, specifically pre-flop. And they also know which of these flops hit their opponent's range. Now, quickly, in a nutshell here, flop number one is very likely to hit the EP opening range of the pre-flop raiser. Flop number two as well does hit that, although this flop is a lot drier, a lot less connected. So if somebody fights back against you on this board, I'm more likely to continue on board number two than board number one. And flop number three is definitely one of the flops that I would avoid c-betting as the pre-flop raiser. Now, all of this is flipped, of course. If you're the pre-flop color, I don't have time in a short video like this to break this down in detail, but I have dozens and dozens of videos talking specifically about how to read board textures like this in my brand new Elite Poker Training University. Enrollment is open right now. I will leave links to that in the description below. But let's move on to sign number four that you are a winning poker player, and that is that you never miss thin value. Now, for example, when the river comes down with a jack of diamonds, seven of clubs, five of hearts, four of spades, two of diamonds, and you have ace five of diamonds, you know which players to make a thin value bet versus in these situations. Now guys, when I say thin value, I'm talking about getting those extra few chips out of them on the river, because you know with your third pair here on the river that some players are going to be willing to pay a little bit more with a hand that is worse than your third pair, which we have the best kicker, of course, with third pair, it should be noted. And specifically, it's going to be against the recreational players, calling stations in general as well, whether they're recreational or regular players. Once again, I discuss this in massive detail in my Elite Poker Training University, 17 plus hours of advanced training. All that's linked up in the description below. But furthermore, guys, you know how much to bet in these situations. And spoiler alert, with a thin value bet, it is almost always less than 50% of the pot. I talk about this also in extensive detail in my second book, Modern Small Stakes. Guys, bottom line, thin value, especially on the river, is very, very often the difference between big winning poker players and everyone else. I have talked about this many times just in these videos here on my YouTube channel. By the way, make sure you subscribe so you never miss my new ones. For those of you guys who watch a lot of my videos, you've seen many videos that I've made in the past where I walk you step by step through how much to bet in these situations versus specific poker player types. You can check those out, but let's move on to sign number five that you're a winning poker player, and that is that downswings do not affect you. Now, a downswing in poker is basically when you have a certain period of time where you're just getting the sustained short end of the stick. We call this variance in poker. You're getting unlucky again and again, even though you're making the right decisions. Now, why do downswings not affect winning poker players? Is because they always use good BRM, bankroll management. They have enough bullets in their bankroll in order to withstand the natural ups and downs of this game. Now, I've also made videos about this on the channel here before and on my blog as well. I've discussed this many times that for cash games, for me, the baseline bankroll management that I would suggest for even casual poker players is 30 buy-ins. That means a full buy-in for the cash game you are playing in. And for tournaments, I know this is shocking, but I suggest 100 buy-ins as a minimum. For professional poker players like myself, I played this game professionally for over 10 years, we use much higher than this. Just so you guys know, I do not use 30 buy-ins for cash games. It's more like 100, and I don't play tournaments as much, but suffice to say, I have much more than 100 buy-ins for any tournament that I decide to play. What a lot of amateurs don't understand is just how much variance can affect you in this game. And I'm just talking about short-term routine ups and downs. Like I said, this stuff is something that all serious professionals understand, they take seriously, and that is why they don't screw around. They don't have a bankroll with $50 in it or even $500. They treat this game like a professional, like you're running a business. You wouldn't start a business with $500, right? And they have the proper capital before they even sit down to play poker so that they never have to worry about this stuff in the moment. That is, of course, what amateurs do. That's why amateurs are always complaining about their bad beats and how unlucky they get, because they're concerned about losing all their money because they don't have the correct amount of funds in the first place. So that's why, guys, I always say in this game, just control the stuff that you can control. And having the proper amount of funds is something that is always in your control. And it's okay, guys. Not everyone's rich. Maybe $5,000 is too much money for you to sit in a specific poker game these days. That's okay. You can play for as little as $2 on the internet. And there are many live poker games you can play for a very small amount of money as well, where you don't need a massive bankroll. So guys, bottom line, just take care of the stuff that you can control in this game, and it makes everything easier. Let's move on to the final sign that you are a winning poker player, and that is that you are always learning. Guys, the best poker players in the world these days, there's one thing that they do different than everyone else, and that is that they are always improving their game because they know that there is no room for ego in the game of poker. The person who thinks they've got everything all figured out, that is the person that will inevitably wind up in poker's graveyard. I've talked about this many times here on the channel before, that having been around this game for nearly 20 years and having played this game professionally for over 10 years, I have seen so many people come and go in this game. And I can tell you that it was ego that brought most of them down. They all thought they'd figured everything out. They'd learned the number one strategy. They'd figure out all the right right bet size, and so on and so forth. And lo and behold, the metagame of poker changed and they were not able to adapt and they started losing. So guys, you always need to be improving your skills in today's competitive poker environment. This is just like if you want to be a software engineer or anything, or an investor or anything like this, you have to keep updating your skill set and your knowledge. But luckily, there are more ways than ever to quickly improve your poker game these days and to stay up to date on the latest theory. I will leave links in the description below for everything that I suggest. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this poker podcast episode. If you want to know my complete strategy for beating small and mid-stakes poker games, make sure you go grab a copy of my free poker cheat sheet that's available on my website at blackrain79.com. And also make sure you hit like and subscribe here to the podcast, as I'm putting out new episodes every single week to help you guys quickly get beating your poker games. I wish you guys all the best at the poker tables. I'll catch you next week. This has been Nathan Williams with BlackRain79.com.